here this morning and understand that there is a extra motivation for some others to be here, that we're going to be having a wedding following the service this morning. And I'm not only hoping for a wedding, but I'm hoping we can have a whole assortment of things, that we can even have a rebirth this morning. And whoever's operating the sound system, bring me down, because I hadn't got started yet, and I'm sounding good already. But we want to congratulate the bride and the groom on the wedding that is going to happen. But I'm thinking that at the same time, there are some that are thinking about their souls as far as what they're going to do with regards to what eternity means to them. I'm happy to be here with you all once again in the great city of Port Lavaca in Calhoun County. It's going to be a very busy week, but I'm happy and I'm really energized for what is going to be going on with the congregation and what the congregation is going to be doing for the community. And if some of you who are here this morning, the overflow, that is the extras that are here this morning, I'm hoping that you are here because someone handed you an invitation to come to the meeting and come to what we're doing this week, and you made your way here this morning, and we want to acknowledge you and tell you just how much we really, really appreciate you all being here. And for those that I didn't get a chance to say hello to and to formally greet you once again since last year, looking forward to doing that after the dismissal of the service between the wedding and then, of course, the fellowship meal subsequent to that. And appreciate Brother Shan so very much for working with this congregation as long as he and his wife has worked with the congregation. Praise the Lord for them, and hope that many, 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 many more years in serving the Lord are awarded to him or given to him by God, who can only lengthen our lives. And I know that it is your prayer as well as it is my prayer. Appreciate Mike McGuire so much and his lovely wife. And his wife is really the picture of strength and poise and composure and all that she is going through. I've been there to Houston to sit with them as she went through her treatment, and she just was so poised as she went through it, as if it was just so pedestrian for her to do that. And that just shows the character strength that she has as she's going through a very difficult time. And we're praying constantly for her. I can say a lot of more preliminaries, a lot of other things this morning, and it just seemed like I just don't have enough time to say everything that I want to say to the congregation, because there are a lot of things, Shan, that are really embedded in my heart, that all of my well wishes for the congregation and for what you mean to the community, and talk about that, and talk about what you all ought to mean to one another, and talk about that, and what you mean to the future of this community and the future of this world. I could talk about that, but we just don't have enough time to talk about all of those variables. But just know this one thing, that none of this stuff is on accident, that it is God's plan, and God planted this church in this community for her to bring forth good fruits in the community. Good to be with my buddy Terry Thomas once again, and always a joy to be with him. And intervals when I'm not here, we do communicate on the phone or by text, and it's good to be with him. Y'all know exactly how I feel about Terry, and I appreciate you all welcoming him and anything that you all can do on his behalf. Maybe not because of him, but if I have any credit in the book, your book, then please distribute that credit towards Terry on my behalf. Good to have my wife here with us also. We came in last evening. I'm going to be leaving after the evening service. I'm going to take her back to Huntsville because she got to go work tomorrow and pay my bills and everything. No, but she has to go to work tomorrow, so she made the sacrifice to come, and she is an assistant principal, and you know time is not off For her, even though she's away from the campus. So she worked up the road. She worked when we got to the place. She worked when we got up this morning. She'll work when we get back, and she'll work along the way, and she'll work when she get home, preparing for the week that is coming. It's not that she is just that disorganized, but it is just the preponderance of things that she has to do associated with her position as an assistant principal. If there's somebody here today that have not obeyed the Lord, we're doing all of this for you. We're doing all of this for you. I mean, everything. And if someone were to put a dollar value on everything that is being done for you this week, it would embarrass you. Let's say that tomorrow night that people take time out of their jobs, or they take time from when they could be at work, and then we had to pay them an hourly wage of, say, $15. Let's say there's someone who has something else they wanted to do, but they sacrificed to come and be here with you or be here for you. Let's say the utilities, let's say the building, and let's say all of these things, that if all of these things had to be added up, literally thousands of dollars are spent just to give you the word of God. And if all of that investment does not mean anything to you, then just think about the investment that God made to get the word spoken to you today in sending his son and allowing his son to go through atrocities that really words are unable to describe, just for you, just for you. And then you're going to sit here, you're going to sit there and do absolutely nothing about all that has been invested for you. Well, that wasn't a sermon. That was just a warm up, you know, that's getting you ready. So to remove that excuse that you might have of not obeying the law, take your Bibles if you don't mind. I'm not going to punish you for all of these preliminaries, but I'm going to try to get into our lesson as expeditiously as possibly can. And turn them to the book of Matthew chapter 16. And when you get to Matthew chapter 16, and just look at verse, just meet me at about verse number 13, and we're going to start there, and then we're going to go just a little bit further. Our discussion this morning, and really for the next, and by the way, last year we had the meeting, and in the meeting we had last time, rather, we had the meeting. We went from Sunday through Wednesday. This time we're going from Sunday through Friday. So I'm hoping that you got all of these days X'd on your calendar so you indeed can be here, not necessarily to hear the word spoken by me, but to come to the fellowship to encourage somebody. I'm telling you the honest to God truth. And this is not an exaggeration, but there might be somebody who might look around, and they're already looking, and they saw you here tonight, or they saw you here this morning. And then they might come Wednesday, or they might come Thursday, and they're trying to make a decision for the Lord. But then they might see you and they might say, well, you know what? If it wasn't important enough for her or for him to be here, then maybe it's not that important for me to do anything. And so your presence really is a validation of what we are doing here this week. And so you come and you put your stamp of validation on it to show your seriousness about all that is going on. It may even be your son or daughter that he or she might be giving serious consideration to obeying the Lord. And that one day that you say, you know what, I'm going to stay in. I'm not going to come out. And they may have been thinking about it all day long. And guess what? When evening time comes around and you say we're not going, the devil is going to steal the word from their hearts. Matthew chapter 13, and they may not get a chance to obey the Lord. And so this week, these next 6 days and these 7 messages, this morning, this evening, and the next 5 days through the week, I want to deal with Matthew 16, verses 13 through about verse number 18, verse number 19. The Bible says, verse number 20, the Bible says that when Jesus had came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, that who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he begins saying that some say that, well, you are John the Baptist. Somebody's even saying that you are Jeremiah. Somebody, on the other hand, is saying that you are Elijah. And then there is this individual at the back of the room on the outer fringes that are saying that you are just one of the prophets. But then he asked them quite poignantly, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells Peter, well, blessed art thou, Simon Barjana, or Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father that is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What I want to do this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is simply this. It is not a complicated concept. It is not a convoluted idea, but it is a very simple idea, and I believe it'll bring some things home. I rarely ever make a guarantee about anything. I don't make promises. You ask my wife, all of the years that we have been married, you go up and ask her after services, has your husband ever made a promise? I don't make promises. The reason why I don't make promises is because I don't know whether or not I'll be alive to keep them. You ask me, will you promise to come back again next year? I can't promise you that. But this morning I'm going to make a guarantee and I'm going to make a promise. The guarantee is this, that if we do what I'm going to submit to you this morning, I guarantee you that this church will change. That this church will absolutely blossom, that the community will never ever be the same, that this church will not be the same, that the worship will be enhanced, the Bible studies will be bubbling over, that so many things will be so better. I guarantee you that if you apply this, what are you talking about, Anderson? It is a simple concept. Let me structure it this way. That when Jesus was talking to the apostles, the first question or the initial question was, what are people saying about me? Who are people saying that I am? And of course, they gave their buffet of answers. Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah are one of the prophets. But then he turns it on them. Out of all of the evidence of everything that has happened, me in and out among you, all of the things that you've seen me do, all of the things you've heard me say, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter tells him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the idea that Peter said he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the greatest truth that any individual has ever spoken. And when Jesus tells Peter that flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father that is in heaven, you got this conclusion based upon what you have seen. John chapter 5, there are five witnesses of Jesus. John, the Father, the works that he did, the scriptures, and Moses. All right, are you with me so far? Just do this. All right, good, good, good. So when Jesus tells Peter this, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is my point this morning, Terry Thomas. This is my point this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Can God or can Jesus build the church on you individually, not collectively, but individually? Are you an individual that can say that he can build it upon me? Now, I know that we have that discussion, Shan, about the rock and the stone, that here it is, that Peter is nothing but a pebble, but that word rock that Jesus says upon this rock, it is a boulder. In fact, when Jesus first meets Peter or meets Cephas, he calls him now Simon, you are Peter, that is stone. But I'm saying this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that God even today builds the church upon us, upon our efforts, upon what we do and how we do it. So the question
can he build the church on you? What does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter, chapter 2? He said, now put away guile, hypocrisy, put away envy and evil speaking, as newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. And then he says two or three verses later, in verse number 5, he said that we are lively stones. The church is built upon us. What we do, how we do it, and the enthusiasm that we have. The question comes today, can he build it on you? Can he build it on you? Jesus is not coming down here to build another church. This is it. The only church that the world will ever know is the church that they see in us, that they read in the Bible. And so that's why we're the ones that go around saying, you know what? We're the church of the Bible. We believe in the Bible. We follow these biblical patterns, and we do this biblical ways, and we do biblical things in biblical ways. But the question comes right now. Can he build it on you? Can he build it on you? You look at Peter. Here it is. This is Peter. Who was it that preached the first gospel sermon? Peter. By the way, Jesus says, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now, the thing is this, that when did Peter use the keys? Well, the key to the kingdom is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the thing that a person must hear in order for he or she to be saved. That is the thing that a person must obey in order for he or she to be saved. That is the thing that a person must do in order for he or she to be saved. It is the gospel. Well, did Peter take the gospel after he finished with it? Did he ball it up and did he put it in his pocket and bring it to the grave with him? That was my sermon, y'all, by the way. Did he take it with him? No, he didn't. Because had Peter taken it with him, we could not have a church of Christ today. But the thing is this, the same keys that Peter used, or the same gospel that Peter used, we use it today. The question has to be, can he build the church on you? Look at Peter. Peter preached the first gospel sermon. Peter preached the second gospel sermon. Who went to the Gentiles and spoke to them about Christ died, Christ buried, and Christ rose again? That same Peter. Who was it there in the book of Matthew chapter 17 that was taken with James and John and watched Jesus transfigure before them? And Jesus says, tell no man until I'm glorified. Did Peter tell? Of course he told. 2 Peter chapter 1, he told. He said, we were with him in that mount and we beheld his glory and we heard the voice. This is my beloved son. I have to ask you the question today. Can he build it on you? Far-fetched. If everybody at the Port Lavaca Church of Christ, heaven forbid that it should happen, were to all die at one time and there was only you left, would there be a Port Lavaca Church of Christ tomorrow? Would there be one next year? The answer has to be yes. Because you can build it on me. And that's what all of us have to say. That's why we always come with our A game. That's why we always come with our absolute best. You need me to pray, I will pray. You need me to sing, I will sing. You need me to serve, I will serve. You need me to teach, I will teach. You need me to go, I will go. You need me to stay, I will stay. You need me to clean, I will clean. Build it on me. Build it on me. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as me, I only had attended one assembly of the Church of Christ before I became a member of the Church of Christ. Baptized one morning at 2:00 in the morning. Not only that, but within 12 hours, I was already on the phone trying to get other folk to become members of the Church of Christ. I'm calling my mother, say, Mama, I'm saved. Say, I already thought you were. No, Mama, now I am. Before the week was out, first baptism, guy by the name of Carl Taylor. First 2 weeks was out, another baptism, my own sister. Nobody told me, Anderson, you have to go do that. But because I knew what Jesus did for me, then I'm going to stand and say, you can build it upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying it right now, that can We build the church on you, singularly, not collectively, but I'm talking about singularly. And if we embrace this concept the way that it can and should be embraced, the Port Lavaca Church will experience a growth and a vibrance like never before. That here it is, you won't have empty chairs. You'll have to pull out chairs. You won't have classrooms that don't have anyone in them. You'll have to find additional classroom because you take it upon yourself personally and you say, build it on me. There was a couple. There was a rock couple. That couple is called Aquila and Priscilla. They were a rock couple. How do you know they were a rock couple? Go there to the book of Romans chapter 16. And you will see just what a rock couple they really were. In fact, the Bible says that Paul called them at about verse number 3 or 4. He called them my helpers in the Lord. They helped him. That was a rock couple. They were not like Ananias and Sapphira there in the book of Acts chapter 5, that they lied to the Lord and ended up losing their lives. That if we had to build the church upon them, we'd have to call it the Lion Church of Christ. We'd have to call it the Dying Church of Christ. We'd have to call it the Deceptive Church of Christ. We'd have to call it something else because you couldn't build it upon them, but you could build it upon that rock couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Not only that, but two places, Terry. It says that the church was in their house. You go back and you look at it. That here it is that Paul acknowledged that rock couple of the things that they did. He said that they put their very necks. Y'all looking at me like that's not in the Bible. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. That's coming out my mouth too seamlessly. You think I'm making this up. But turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 16 and let's look at this rock couple. Verse number 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, whom I give thanks for, or thanks, he says, but not only me, but all of the Gentile churches are thankful for them. Watch this other point, Robert Willis. And he says in verse number 5, he says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 19. You'll find the same thing echoed, that the church was in their houses or their house. You know what they are saying? You can build this thing on me. You can build it on me. Acts chapter 18, Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla, they're down at Ephesus, and there is a guy by the name of Apollos. How is Apollos described? He is eloquent. He is mighty in the scriptures. He's fervent in the spirit. He taught boldly, but he only knew about the baptism of John. And when that rock couple heard them, they brought him to themselves and they expounded upon him or unto him the word of the Lord more perfectly. What are you saying, Anderson? I'm saying that couple said, build it on me. If they had children, build it on us. Think about it for 1 second. I mean, literally, not figuratively, literally. When God wanted to build a kingdom, let's back up. When God wanted to build a family, he built it on Abraham. When he wanted to build a nation or a kingdom, he built it on David. What does he want to do? He wants to build the church on you. You are that rock. Peter wasn't the first pope. That's not what I'm saying. But the same way that Peter was the rock, the same way John was the rock. That here is John and Peter went down to Samaria after the Samaritans heard the word of God. The same way that John and Peter were the rock, the same way James was the rock. that here it is in Acts chapter 15, this question about the Gentiles keeping the law. They brought it to the elders and the apostles there at Jerusalem. And James stood up and he answered that question for them. The same way that these individuals were the rock, were the same way that we are the rock. Can he build it on you? Can he build it on you? And that, I think, ladies and gentlemen, is really our defining moment. The Church of Christ here at Port Lavaca is going to be a different group of people, a different kind of people, a more energetic, a more engaged group of people, because everyone is saying, build it on me. Now, let me do a little sidebar, if you don't mind. When you're out there looking for a spouse, and I know we're about to have a wedding afterwards, and this is not my premarital counseling, but you need to find a husband, or you need to find a wife, or you need to find a man or a woman that you can build a family on. That's one of the most important. Can I build my family on you? Because we're going to be connected for a long time. Can I build my family on you? And you have to have a serious conversation with that person or even with yourself. Can I build a family on that individual? And that individual must come to you and they must say, you know what? You can build a family with me. You can build a life with me. You can build a future with me or on me. That's the kind of people that we have to be looking at as far as potential for a spouse or for a husband and or a wife. Can you build it on me? When Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all that lively stone. You go back and you look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Lively stones. Guess what? A spiritual house. Hebrews chapter 2. Every house is built by somebody, but everyone who builds all things is God. And Moses as a servant of his own house, but Jesus as a son over his house, whose house are we? Can we build it on you? Can Jesus build it on you? Can God build it on you? And that's what we're looking at. And that's what we're thinking about this week. We want it to be where we can confidently, and competently say, build it on me. Build it on me. Here I am. Build it on me. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and I guarantee it, I promise you that if we have people, everyone in the body of Christ, everyone saying, build it upon me, then things are going to happen, and they're going to happen quick, and it's going to continue for a long time to come. Now, how do we build it on an individual? We build an individual on an individual by your core. By your core. One, it is about your character. Two, it is about your optimism. Your optimism. Three, it is about you being responsible. And four, it has to be about your energy. It's your core. And if the core is not right, nothing else is going to go right also. So it is about your character. It is about your optimism. About your optimism. How optimistic are you? And your optimistic must be represented in that which you're willing to do and that which you are engaged to do. I'm here. Send me my optimism. Responsible. Ask me to do something and I will do it. You have to understand this, and I say this, and I say it unapologetically, that God has given Port Lavaca to you all. What you going to do with it? What are you going to do about it? Will you take the responsibility? Because God is saying, I'm giving you Port Lavaca, now do something with it. But all you're going to say, it's too big for us, and you see yourselves as grasshoppers. And if you see yourself as grasshoppers, Numbers chapter 13, verse number 32, then guess what? Others are going to see you as grasshoppers also. But then you have to see yourself as being Caleb, saying, we're well able to go up and possess the land. Let us go up at once.
How about that energy? That energy you have. Can he build a church on you? Can he do it? And that's what it's going to take. Everybody has to make an agreement that you can build it upon me. Now, this is the invitation, and we're going to be singing the song to encourage somebody to come in a moment. That if we have not been living that way, that if we've not been fully engaged in this thing calling building the church, or called building the church, if you're not one to say, build it upon me, then it's time for you to get that right and get a different attitude about all of that. Am I just talking about the older person that he has been a member of the church for a long time? I'm talking about you, younger person also, and maybe even more so you than I'm talking about the older person. That you have to step up and say, you can build it on me. I will get my friends. I will get others to come. I will tell others about Jesus. You can build it upon me. You can build it on me. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. But if we have not been that and we have fallen short of that, it is time to come home. It is time to come home. And you, I know you're going to say, well, I've already been home. I've always been home. Of course you've been home. You are just like one of the 10 coins that the woman lost. Where did she lose it? In the house. So you've been home, but you've been lost in the house. And so let's light a candle. Let's sweep the house all night to get you and bring you home. Come home this morning. Be fully engaged. And those that are not members of the body of Christ, this lesson is for you also. It is for you. You've been sitting back and you've been vacillating about this thing for a long time. If you took that long to decide what you're going to wear to school tomorrow, wear or put on to go to work tomorrow, you'd go to work naked. I'm going to say it again because I thought that was a good point, to be honest with you. If you take as long to find clothes to wear tomorrow, as long as you've taken to obey the Lord, you're going to go to work, you're going to go to school naked. You can't make up your mind. I don't know whether or not I want to do it because I don't know whether or not I can do it. You don't know whether or not you're going to look good in the clothes until somebody look at you. You can look at yourself in the mirror in the clothes and say, oh, you know, I got it working like that. It's all good. But then you get out and say, oh, man, that's whack. If you take this long to make other decisions, ain't nothing would happen in your life. You'd go to work naked tomorrow. But you don't take that much decision-making time because you know you need to get dressed, you know you need to go somewhere. Well, you need to get dressed today and you need to go somewhere. What do you get dressed in? You get clothed in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourselves in Christ. You need to come today. You need to come now. And let us build this thing on you. Let us build it on you. Or let the Lord build it on you, rather. You come by hearing the word of God. Hearing the same message that Peter preached as he was that rock building the church. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, that he rose again the third day. And then you must believe that message. You must repent of your sins, confess that I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. We're going to have a wedding. But guess what? When you become a member of the body of Christ, you are part of the bride of Christ. And there is going to be a reunion with the bride and the groom in the air. And then he's going to take the church, his bride, and present it to his father. And the father's going to tell the bride and those who are in the bride, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Come on in. I've said enough this morning, and I spent some extra time trying to get you ready for us to be talking about, can we build this thing on you? And what he means in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through verse number 20. We're going to talk about that and extend these next few days. But don't let this be a wash. Don't let it be a wash. All of the resources put together to get you to come here this morning. Not only that, but the decision that you make it about putting on your clothes. That if you don't make a decision, you're going to go to work naked. Don't stand before God naked. Be clothed in Christ. The song leader has selected the song that we're going to be singing. The time is now. The person is you. The place is here. Don't let the devil steal the word from your heart one more time. Can we build it on you? If we can, why don't you come us together? We stand and sing. Why don't you make your minds up to come? Everything inside of you is saying, come. Don't think about anybody else. The only person you need to be thinking about is you and you alone. The question is, can he build it on you? Why don't you come? As I was.